Didn't they build like this beautiful replica of like Copenhagen or some shit in America's where they blew it up and left an American flag? Because fucking America.
Yeah, it's not my proud. It's not my country's proudest moment.
What do you mean it's not your country's proudest moment? You're gonna put that up there, are you? With your country's least proudest moments, huh? So in the past couple of years, Dexter Critchman, would you say the detonation of a Minecraft world by a load of Yanks is probably up there as one of your worst moments? Not the systematic destruction of all fucking civilization that has been brought about by some murking squirrel-headed fuck. Or the fact that basically you have somehow managed to devolve 100 years and somehow black people have become even less worthwhile in your society. But no, it's the Minecraft faux pas that really sticks in people's minds. Priorities, having ladies fun. And gentlemen. What do you mean having fun? Well, having apparently fun. You lot are murdering all the blacks.
Oh my god. Anyway.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is your intro to this podcast. Because that was recording. Cue that music.
Cue the fucking music.
Part 2 of Week in the Universe, where we discuss 205 Live and NXT. Because Dexter Critchman is back once again.
Let's talk about the beatdown. Come on.
Tozawa to the top. Tozawa, nobody home.
Drew Gulak is back with the PowerPoint presentation.
I didn't like this so much.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Week in the Universe Part 2, where we discuss briefly, very briefly, 205 Live, followed by NXT, which is the only brand that matters this week. Don't pay attention to Powerful Brand, because I fucking said so, goddammit. So, I am your host, Amir Osneni, and joining me is the leader of Team Shit. That guy, Dexter Critchman, that's it, him, whatever. Say something.
Yes, I will say something. Dickhead. I am really sad, though. And I'm sorry, guys. We didn't manage to line it up last week to get a recording done. And I'm really sad because I really loved the ending of 205 Live last week. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. But god damn it, let's get into the Purple Brand this week because it went from one of my highlights of the week to being absolute turd.
Turd! Let's talk about Brown Brand 205 Live. Cue that funky music.
Lesson number 2. There's more than one way to win a match. You understand me?
I'm not playing a gentleman. I am a gentleman.
I have laid waste to pretender. After pretender.
So, NXT... Oh, no, wait, no, we're not doing NXT. I so didn't want to talk about 205 Live, because it was shit. Fuck you.
It was.
So, 205 Live this week involved a couple of matches that nobody gave a fuck about. It had a main event of sorts that nobody really gave a shit about, despite being a reasonably good wrestling contest. And that was pretty much it for 205 Live, guys. So, if we'll cue the NXT music, we'll get down to the goddamn wrestling portion of this week.
Jesus Christ. You really don't want to talk about it.
Okay, right. Can I just say something? Jack Gallagher and the Brian Kendrick, can you fuck off now? Because you're boring the shit out of me. I never thought I'd say this as an English wrestling fan who adores Jack Gallagher and grew up loving Brian Kendrick. But this is shit. And I am sick and tired of watching them wrestle.
Insert Flippy Doo tinfoil wearing Mexican hair, goddammit.
Every single fucking week. I am so bored of it. I hate Kalisto. He is so boring. I don't care. He is like, he's just baby Rey Mysterio with no charisma. He's fucking dire. I don't care. Fucking, what's his name? The King of the Ropes, Grand Metalik. Fucking King of the Cables round your neck more like. Jesus, mate. I don't care. I don't care. Insert another tag match. Oh, fuck off. Fuck off. I don't care. They could have match of the years. Yeah, single. I just don't care. I don't care about any iterations that involve these guys. They're supposed to be the main villains, aren't they? Other than the Zotrain on 205 Live, and they're literally doing fuck all and they're losing the majority of their matches. Somebody find these guys something to do or fire them.
Or move them. Might be moving them. Anyway, well, since this show is shit, let me talk. Do you mind if we talk about last week and what actually got my gears really going?
Yeah, go on then. Fucking, let's talk about last year. Let's talk about last year when 205 Live didn't exist. So we didn't even have to talk about it, goddammit.
Oh.
Yeah, last week's 205 Live was actually reasonably good. We didn't get a Week in the Universe Part 3 out last week because of obvious problems and shit, and obviously it's the holiday and all that extra good stuff. So let's quickly talk about the fact that the crowd were chanting "This is boring" when they got arguably the most compelling storyline they've ever got out of Enzo Amore and the Zotrain.
Oh my god, I was literally waiting for Drew to fucking knock Enzo Amore's goddamn head off. And when it didn't happen, I almost cried. It's like, oh, why? Why? This could have been an amazing turn, but no.
So and the what worst you're saying about- is you wanted Drew Gulak to finally turn and become the man who was going to stand up against the Enzo Amore regime. Well, I've got news for you, Dexter Cretchen, because you don't like what you like. We're going to go in a different direction. Give it to that really good-looking black guy over there instead. Fuck all of you.
And actually, do you know what's hilarious about this whole thing is legitimately after 205 Live aired, I went to go take a look at Drew Gulak's Twitter, and he posted a quote saying, "Sometimes the light at the end of a tunnel is a train."
Yeah. Yeah, it's actually quite a good comment. Just mentioning it last week as well, I thought they did a great job of giving you sympathy for Tony Nese. I felt really bad for Tony Nese and the beatdown last week. Like, I genuinely sort of thought, oh man, that sucks ass. And seeing like Drew almost having to put down his best friend, like unwillingly, was really good, really compelling and emotional storylines. But the crowd were going, "This is boring." No, you're boring. Fuck you. Like, oh, it's such a clusterfuck of not caring about the product and the fans not being emotionally invested in the first place anyway. It's like, well, why are you still there then? Go home. Don't chant that it's boring. If it's boring, right? Get up and leave. Don't pay money to go and watch it. How's that sound? And you can't use the excuse of, oh, I was here to watch SmackDown. Well, SmackDown was beforehand, so why don't you fuck off then? Why don't you leave early and have some drinks? Don't sit there and moan about how it's boring. Leave it to the people who do like it.
Or go hit the bar that's actually in the facility, which there usually is one, and it's usually open. Go hit the bar while you wait for your freaking dark match.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
Get out of my sight.
Yeah, speaking of getting out of my sight, get all these fucking goddamn Mexicans off my show. I'm getting sick and tired of seeing tinfoil warriors running around. I don't care. They have nothing. There's nothing interesting about Kalisto or Grand Metalik tinfoil-faced, fuck-faced whorebag. I don't care. Go away. Nobody cares about you. Nobody cares about your bunch of buddies. Seriously, right? The sad thing is, I would have actually found this more interesting if it was a racial angle and they'd all managed to fucking smuggle themselves into 205 Live on the back of a small bus. Because frankly, this is a load of shit. There's no emotional investment. It's boring. I don't care about Jack Gallagher versus Brian Kendrick. What else did we have? We had Hideo Itami squashed Colin fucking Delaney.
Who?
For fuck's sake. Colin Delaney. Do you not remember the skinny guy who used to get wrecked on the old ECW that WWE revived? Do you remember him?
Oh, that's Jesus him. Christ. He's still him. There?
Yeah, that's that guy. He's just come back. They're giving him a little bit of a trial run because he had a match with the Bludgeon Brothers with a random tag partner on SmackDown last week, and he rather infamously screamed when he got double powerbombed. And because of that, they're now thinking, ooh, he's the next James Ellsworth. So guess who's going to be running around on your product soon enough? probably just running down women and trying to be a cruiserweight. Yeah, this guy. So congratulations on that one. So yeah, Hideo Itami, by the way, sucks ass. Anyone who thinks he's really good, you are literally watching the wrong product, because he's not good at all. He's so boring. He has zero charisma. His offense is very dull. He's worse than Nakamura, and I don't think Nakamura has been that good. So what does that tell you? He's the drizzling shits. I don't care. I really don't. And the main event was a very good match that people have seen a fucking one night before on Raw. All the good matches are on Raw. I'll give you an excuse to watch 205 Live. Well, I fuck. Put everything on Raw. What's the point? Just give Raw half an hour of cruiserweight time and just do away with the show if you're going to be that way. Because you literally had all the number one contenders matches on there, and then the title match is probably going to be at a pay-per-view. Utterly pointless. Utterly pointless. A fucking useless show. Dexter Kutcherman, have you got anything to add about this show before I literally have a fucking aneurysm?
Honestly, I don't have anything other than Steve may be right. It might be time. It might be time to finally...
Put it down.
It might be time to finally end this.
Put it on Raw. Give Raw a little segment with cruiserweights or whatever. Don't even bother changing the ropes. Just change the fucking color of Titantron or whatever. And just put the show down. It's a waste of fucking time. It really is. What? Jesus Christ. You're not achieving anything here. You'd be better off trying to film the odd NXT after SmackDown Live and having that as a special event. Fuck this. Fuck this shit. Can we talk about NXT, please? Because that was actually good.
It was actually good both weeks. So let's get on to it.
You are not NXT! We are NXT!
We tried to do it your way. And what did I get? Nothing!
Oh my God! He's out of Cole! It's out of Cole!
What the hell?
And it's Cole Monday! In the house!
Out of Cole! Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby!
So NXT this week. Where do we start? How about we start with match of the fucking year today? Tyler Bate versus fucking Pete motherfucking Dunne. Oh my God, British wrestling for the win.
God,
Pete Dunne retains in a 25 minute slobber knocker, mamma mia. Yeah, that match. Tell us what you for that match as you got another hot steaming slice of United Kingdom supreme best wrestling in the world ever.
The start was very methodical, and it just kept burning and getting hotter and getting hotter. And Jesus Christ, the storytelling in this fucking match, including having to relocate goddamn fingers in the middle of the ring. Huh.
I love the fact that this match started off scientifically. I love the technical aspect of things. I liked how it then descended into a more violent, aggressive tone. And then we had the dislocation of the fingers, or, you know, so to speak, kayfabe. And, you know, Tyler really sold that well, like the real shock on his face. And Pete Dunne just becoming really, really maniacal and very sadistic in his offense, something that a lot of us are used to being British wrestling fans, having the pleasure of seeing Pete. I mean, Jesus Christ, I saw Pete Dunne wrestle just over a week ago in London in person. I am a spoiled bastard when it comes to wrestling. You know, to see him on this show, oh, so good. I actually saw Tyler Bate wrestle at the same show. He was wrestling with Trent Seven. They were wrestling in a tag team title match against Josh Bowden and Zach Gibson. So, you know, just very, very spoiled. Oh, by the way, the main event was Mighty Skill and the Young Bucks versus Flip Gordon and CCK. But don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It's fine. You guys enjoy your 205 Live every week. yeah, so it was fucking awesome. It really was. It was amazing. Do you think it was as good as the first match, the one at NXT TakeOver? For me, this was just a slight shade underneath.
I would say it was a slight shade underneath, but I still say they both pale in comparison to the Cruiserweight Classic Finals. I like that one the best.
The what, sorry? Oh, what, for the UK Championship Final, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, when they won the when they fought for the title. You think that's the best of the three, do you? For the UK title in Blackpool.
I like that one the best.
Wow. Interesting. Yeah, no, I mean, let's be honest. All three are fantastic matches. What a trilogy of great matches. Like, I just keep fighting forever, please. This should be the main event of Mania every year for the rest of time.
Fight forever.
But the sad thing is, Vince McMahon doesn't think Britain... Yeah, the Fight Forever thing was made for stuff like this. It really was magical. But that wasn't the only high-profile title match NXT had this week. We had, to open the show, Sanity versus the Undisputed Era, as Nigel McGuinness keeps calling them, because he has a problem with the word era, apparently. Somebody needs to grab him by the era, for fuck's sake. So, yeah, those two teams wrestled each other for the NXT Tag Team Championship. And big shock to the system, Dexter Kritchman, because we have new NXT Tag Team Champions, Red Dragon. Fuck the Undisputed Era. It's Red Dragon. Fuck you all. Fuck you. It's Red Dragon. Fuck you. Fuck you. Thank you very much. Ring of Honor. Undisputed. Undisputed Era. Fuck you. Fuck you. It's Ring of Honor. It's Red Dragon. It's Red Dragon.
But is it really that much of a shock to the system? I was kind of expecting this to happen.
I had this spoiled for me, so I knew it was going to happen. One of our listeners rather kindly dropped this spoiler on me a while back, so I kind of knew it was happening. She said, in about 3 or 4 weeks' time, the tag titles change hands. And as soon as they announced this, I was like, well, I know when the tag titles are changing hands. And so I knew they were going to win. I didn't think this match was as fun in a lot of ways. It certainly wasn't as good as the main event. That's not nearly a slight on it, though, is it? Let's be honest, because what's better than Pete Dunne versus Tyler Bate fucking UK title? But...
Are those two, best friends, by the way?
Yeah, they are very close. British Strong Style actually contains Trent Seven, Tyler Bate, and Pete Dunne. They're actually a trio. They won the Shikara King of Trios tournament this year. They are very, very effective as a trio. I'll send you some British Strong Style stuff, mate, so you can check them out as a trio on the indies, because they have done some really fucking cool stuff. But yeah, they're all very close friends. You know, they all know each other very well. Pete Dunne's very good friends with people like Mark Andrews as well. I think it's Pete Dunne, Mark Andrews, and Eddie Dennis actually own the Defend Indie Wrestling brand, which is a clothing brand over here that supplies really cool Defend Indie Wrestling clothing brands. And they use one of the main turnbuckle things. I forgot what they're called now. You know, the metal bars with the two links on them, the hooks on either end. That's like their logo. Mm. You've probably seen me wearing like their hats from time to time and stuff like that. But I believe those three guys own that brand. So it's kind of cool. So yeah, no, Pete Dunne, very entrepreneurial. Amongst other things as well, a lot of these guys are. So I think that's why the matches are so magical, because they just have such an unbelievable understanding of how each other works. It's so special to watch. But yeah, the tag match for me, it was a fun match. I enjoyed it. I'm in a way really pleased for Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish, because I've said to you beforehand, haven't I? I don't think Adam Cole's working as a big main event player on NXT. I don't think he matches up with an Aleister Black or even a Velveteen Dream at this point. I think he's lagging behind, and I think they made the choice to go with someone like an Andrade Cien Almas instead, because I feel like he's just got more to offer as a wrestler than Adam Cole has right now. Adam Cole is a great manager dickhole for these two, but I feel like Carter Rolly and Bobby Fish are the stars here. I think they're the wrestlers that can really get over. They've got more depth as wrestlers, maybe not so much as characters. Adam Cole's a decent character, but Adam Cole for me is kind of like the Xavier Woods of the three. He's much better at doing the talking and the shenanigans on the outside, if you get what I mean. And I was
basically
pleased for these guys.
He's the foil for them. He's the mouthpiece, and he does it really well. The problem is that we know darn well that he's actually really good, not just in that role, but he needs like a couple different foils to actually get him used to the style that's here versus like on the indie circuit.
I agree with that as well. Adam Cole suffers from not being able to be his brash, normal self. When you've got no filter on the indies, it's easy to be full-on dickhead, isn't it? It's so good. You've got absolutely limitless potential, a.k.a. Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks. They have freedom, Marty Scurll. Look at how good the Bullet Club is. Because they're not fucking chained down by this bullshit that WWE gives them. Now, NXT, you get a fair amount of freedom, but I think Adam Cole, for me, I think he should be more of a mouthpiece than a wrestler. I love the image of him at the end of the match when they won the match, and he's got that big old fucking shit-eating mouth open grin on his face. And he's like, yeah, my boys won the tag titles. I was like, that's the Adam Cole I like. That's entertaining. That is Bullet Club Adam Cole. I like that. I want to see more of that. But I didn't think the match was that great. I thought Killian Dane was fantastic as always. I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with Sanity and Red Dragon going forward. I hope this isn't just going to be, you know, oh, we'll get Sanity out of the way now and they're just fucking around. Yeah, I also love Nikki Cross attacking Adam Cole. Thought that was a lot of fun.
Yes, that was amazing.
Get her off of me! Get her off of me! She's like, ah! That was fucking brilliant. She's so over. She's so good. And she's so hot. I love this woman. Oh, she's amazing. I absolutely adore her. She's fucking brilliant. Any other thoughts on this?
One thought that crossed my mind. Going back to Adam Cole and maybe possibly reviving him as a singles wrestler, putting him up against Gargano. Getting a rivalry with those two going.
Yeah, I would be all for that. It's interesting you mentioned Gargano because we'll mention the number one contender scene in a moment. But yeah, I would be all for that. I think Adam Cole needs some decent high octane opponents to get him going because he hasn't wrestled any singles matches. Yeah, right now they seem to be building him up as kind of like the big boss that doesn't have to fight much, do they? He's kind of like the kingpin, and O'Reilly and Fisher, he's like hitmen, really. And that's good in a way, but he needs to be able to back himself up when he's got big matches. I thought his match with Aleister Black was really good last week, but I didn't think it was a standout match. I felt like Aleister Black and Velveteen Dream knocked spots off of that. I feel like Adam Cole does need a lot of build, and he needs good rivalry, and he needs good fire for his builds. He's not the kind of guy who gets in there and has worldy matches with everybody. He's not a Tyler Bate or a Pete Dunne. He's not just going to go out there and get the very best 4-star, 5-star work out of people all the time. He's just not. He's not that kind of guy.
He's a storyteller.
To be honest. Yeah, Adam Cole is actually a great storyteller, but I feel right now all he is a gimmick where he's a man that shouts Adam Cole, baby. That's all he is right now. Also, can we please change the Undisputed Era's music? Because it is fucking horrible. It is not conducive of a main event level talent at all. Shock the system.
Who hired back WCW's music talent? Because no.
It's almost Wolfpack-esque. It's like that kind of thing. And that was cool in the day, but not now. It's got to be current. It's got to be a great look at Aleister Black. Your music has to speak to who you are. It has to speak to what kind of personality you have and how you affect yourself. You know, you think back at all the great wrestlers, and I know people are going to be like, oh, you're nitpicking and giving the music and stuff like that. But the reality is this is developmental. This is where we nitpick. You nitpick at developmental level. I am looking at someone like The Rock. If you smell what The Rock is cooking, bow, 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 and you get that kind of funky sort of, and he can strut to that music. Austin's music hits. It's aggressive. It's forthright. It's about smacking someone in the mouth, which is what he was about. Look at some of the tag teams, Authors of Pain.
You know?
Their music. When their music hits, you're like, oh, shit's about to go down. These motherfuckers are going to come down in their badass masks and powerbomb the fuck out of you. By the way, can we just mention in passing last week, Danny Burch and Oney Lorcan facing Authors of Pain? My God, the first 30 seconds of that match are literally fucking pornographic. They are like Oney Lorcan's like, and he's like punching the shit out of fucking Aiken and smashing the shit out of him, and I'm like, so much testosterone flowing through me at that point. That match was fucking amazing. It was only like 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes long, but it was so good, so physical. Please, please give them an opportunity as a tag team because they are so good. So fucking good. Oh my God. And Authors of Pain. Oh, I want to see those two teams have a 10-minute match where they actually give them some back and forth. That could be serious tag team gold, mate. Oh, so fucking good.
It would be. Oh. Anyway, back on the topic of music fitting the person. Let's even look inside of developmental. Joey Gargano's music fits really well.
Yeah, it does. That kind of happy-go-lucky skater rocker kind of thing.
Almas's fits really well.
Yeah, it does. They all spent to their character. So why don't the three most damaging, dangerous men on your roster have good music to back themselves up? Why don't they have some porn guitar from some 80s softcore shit that you would stick on Channel 5 at 1 in the morning?
I don't know.
Come on.
I really don't know. Come on, man.
It's not good. But let's Should we talk about the number one contender scene?
Yeah, let's talk about the shovel of shit that was at the end of, in the middle of this, Lars because Sullivan. It was.
Lars Sullivan. Not like Lars Sullivan battering Roderick Strong in about 3 minutes.
That was dumb.
Why play Roderick Strong's little family vignette before this? Like, oh my God, my life is so good. I've had a kid and a wife and I'm a fighter and I'm always going to overcome everything. And Lars Sullivan doesn't give a shit because his chin is bigger than your whole fucking family. Fuck you.
Crunch.
He gets run over and the fatal four-way is set, which frankly I am pretty buzzing about. Let's be honest. We have got Killian Dane, Lars Sullivan, Aleister Black, and Johnny Gargano in a fatal four-way.
What the shit?
Two of the smallest, most dangerous athletes in the world against two of the largest men ever. I can't wait for Lars Sullivan and Killian Dane to be like, Killian Dane's going to be like, I've got more chest hair. And Lars Sullivan's going, I've got more chin hair. Let's fucking rumble. This is going to be so good. Or Aleister Black and Johnny Gargano are going to be in the corner doing flippy-do wrestling, which will anger Vince McMahon no end. It's going to
be an insane match.
It will. It's going to be insane. I can't wait. I hope that's going to be a takeover. That's got to be creamy fucking goodness. Oh,
it better be a takeover, be a good because match. If it's
it better be. Don't spunk it on NXT and then have the winner versus Almas at the next takeover. No. You put that fatal four-way on goddamn takeover at Royal Rumble. That is going to be spectacular.
And you also have the spots have to be defended or something dumb like that. Just give it more buzz, more hype. Do something with it, please. Yeah.
Right now, my card is that fatal four-way, a takeover. I want to see a rematch between Sanity, Authors of Pain, and Undisputed Era for the tag team titles. Triple threat at the next takeover.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be Authors of Pain's last thing. Then call them up. Have them. Oh, have Authors of Pain debut at the Rumble the next night. Jizz. Fucking jizz everywhere.
And his pants. Edderick
and then Authors of Pain just come out and start battering John Cena. Like, I don't give a shit about your fucking push. I'll be like, oh my God, creamy goodness. But John Cena. No. Oh my God. No, it's never going to happen, but it is everything I could ever dream of. But yeah, those two matches especially have to be like, we need a fantastic women's match. Again, obviously Ember Moon, because they haven't really done a great deal of build towards. They don't really know what they're doing. I get the impression they're teasing a iconic dissension because Peyton Royce lost to Ember Moon again, but they haven't really mentioned that this week, and you know, so we won't mention it too much. But that was pretty much the crux of NXT.
We'll probably get that next week, considering that they go on an even odd schedule apparently.
Yeah. Before we wrap it up, though, there was a very interesting vignette where Heavy Machinery were trying to move random Italian guy's car.
Which, are we trying to push Heavy Machinery now? And what happened to your guys' love for fucking, I've forgotten their names now because they're shit.
That's because they're irrelevant. That's why. I think they had a promo, but I refuse to acknowledge it.
Did they? But, someone hit me on the Twitter. Did they actually have a promo? If they did,
I think they had like a WWE.com video thing, but I wasn't paying attention to that because fuck the Street Profits.
Yes. Literally, if you guys don't like us bashing on the Street Profits, well, you know what?
Tough shit.
As much as this is for
I'm not apologizing for it.
Anyway.
Yeah, tell them to fuck off. Yeah,
I'm sorry, fuck off.
Oh, I'm sorry. You, fuck off. I'm not apologizing for it. Street Profits suck ass. That pretty much wraps up NXT because I refuse to give Heavy Machinery high profile amount of time on this podcast because they suck too. And those two fucking Italian guys can go fuck themselves as well because that's clearly
basically all the new tag teams just let's try this again. So someone get out the broom, get out the broom and the shovel.
Yeah. Just shovel these fuckers out of the way and give Oney Lorcan and Tony Butch more time to be a great tag team.
Yes.
Start off simply, right? Have them batter a couple of jobber teams for a couple of weeks. Or have them really hurt people with their physicality.
Batter
and then
these
have
guys.
Them and then have them fucking can you imagine like Eric Young and Killian Dane versus Oney Lorcan and like Danny Burch is just like an opener to an NXT? They'll fucking start smacking lumps out of each other. They're going to fucking lots of men battering each other. Vince McMahon will see that and be like, that's what I want to see on my goddamn roster. Fucking, I want to see the 1-2 fucking combination just battering lumps. Killian Dane and Danny Burch just taking swings at each other like fucking haymakers, man. And Oney Lorcan just punching Eric Young in a corner. Oh, they are so good at the basics. Let them go as the bruisers. Let them go and let them do their thing. But do you know what? I loved NXT this week. I thought it was the best of the four shows by a country margin. I thought it was fucking
brilliant. Well, that's because
brilliant.
British strong style.
Even if that wasn't on it, but that was like literally overkill. That alone could have murdered most brands. But if I'm sorry, if you are watching WWE this week and you watch all four brands and you saw that match,
I did.
And you thought that anything else was interesting other than Rusev Day maybe and their carny bollocks on SmackDown.
I found that interesting, and I found the Viginette over on Raw very interesting. But in terms of an actual match, the British strong style took it away by a fucking margin.
Holy shit, shat all over everything else. And when you've got tag team titles opening the show, that shows how big a deal British wrestling is, and how big a deal Tyler Bate versus Pete Dunne is, that they actually put Red Dragon versus Sanity on first, and they had those guys main event. They actually thought that match, even though it didn't change the title, was more important than having the tag titles change hands. And I think that speaks volumes about how great British wrestling is. And I think that's a good place to leave NXT. I thought NXT was fucking awesome this week. Two great matches. I thought the tag team match wasn't as good as I was hoping it was going to be. Bearing in mind the titles changed hands, but I still thought it was great. It was a fantastic match. And I think this was a very, very good NXT. This was a four-gender affair. Four eggplants for NXT this week. Well done. Fucking phenomenal TV. Really enjoyed it. Loved it. What did you think, mate?
Agreed. Four of your instrument of choice here. Four shovels.
Yes, please. Four shovels. Exactly how many shovels I needed to bury Dexter Kritchman in a best of seven series. Now, you got something
to
say?
I give you credit.
You have to give me credit because I swept you, motherfucker.
And I fully admit it. You swept me. You got me good.
Also, while we're here, all hail your first ever two-time PvP champion, the Devil from Dunham. Yes, sir. You step in my way and you will get the devil's due. Do you understand me? Because the Dunham Devil is a two-time, count it, two-time Smart Plug PvP champion. And as always, I am the man to beat around here. So come at me, bras. Come at me.
Is it Lifam?
I believe Kyle Rassadoon would consider this title run to be something like Lifam, mamma mia. It's Lifam. Now, before we wrap up our wonderful Week in the Universe Part 2, which you will agree has been a lot of fun this week, there's Christmas. We got two things to attend to. First of all, hashtag SmartPlug PVPRR. Now, that means PvP for Royal Rumble. Now, we got a long way to go before January the 28th. By the way, congratulations to all you ladies out there for your Royal Rumble. Well-deserved, as we said on part
well
one.
Well done.
It's going to be awesome. Do you know what else is going to be lit, fam? That Royal Rumble is going to be lit, fam. Right now, Carl Wilkins is like, if you say lit, fam, again, I'll kill you. He's going crazy.
Hey, Kyle. It's lit, fam.
It's really, really lit, isn't it, Kyle? Really lit.
So I love lit, how we're fam. Just calling his ass out.
Yeah, Christmas this weekend is going to be lit, fam. Boxing Day is going to be especially lit. Lit. Anyway, do you know what one of my favorite songs is, Dexter Kritchman? It's My Own Worst Enemy by Lit. Pa-boom! Oh, dear. Anyway, I'm
this
on fire,
bitch
mate.
Is on
and
fire.
Do you know how you light a fire? By Never mind. Moving on before Kyle actually fucking flies over here with a goal of his own. So
no, he's going to come after me first, to be completely honest. Yes,
I hope he does, because you are much closer. Get over that border and give him a shoveling right up the corner, right up the Wisconsin widget. Farce. Farce is what we do best here at the Smart Plug. So, January 28th will be the PvP Royal Rumble. Guys, I've seen a lot of you already looking for them, but of course we will be debuting our inaugural Smart Plug PvP Tag Team Championships. The tournament will start at the Royal Rumble, and it will culminate at our PvP for WrestleMania. But that can only happen if we have enough tag teams. Now, I do believe that at LDR Jackman... Yeah, we need... I believe we've got four.
We've got four.
Yes, for our team, the Freebirds rule will be in full effect. Oh my God. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. Because I actually am involved in two different tag teams, because the Commonwealth will be aligning itself with Team Host. Oh, yes. The Commonwealth has picked up at Grade 87. Raymond Ayres has joined the Commonwealth. So it is now the Devil, the Master of Doom, and of course, the Grand Marshal of Essex, Raymond Ayres. We are a trio, and we will exercise our Freebirds right at any opportunity during this tournament. So, look out, because the champ is looking for more gold! But we need tag teams, guys. And of course, if you're going to get a tag team together, if you do have a tag team together already and we don't know about it, please DM the Smart Plug and just let us know. Very simply, just say, hey, it's me and this guy or whoever it may be, so that we can put you guys down as a tag team. I believe we've already got, of course, my Freebird network that is the Commonwealth. We've got Dexter Critchman. I believe you've aligned yourself with Heel Nick Payne. Have you not?
I have. The two Very of us good. Decided to make a quick tag team, because why not?
Yeah, so... Why not? Because, you know what? Stain loves stain. Ha! And, of course, we have Jay Miller, our resident plucky Brooklyn Brawler-esque loser. He is the Brooklyn Brawler of the Smart Plug. I love him.
Oh, my God.
He is he's a plucky loser. And he is joining Steve the Duke Neal, making his PvP debut at the Royal Rumble. Now, Dexter Christian, I saw you talking shit on our Twitter feed. I saw you giving it out alongside Nick Payne, giving poor Jay Miller some stick, picking on the Brooklyn Brawler. Has it got that poor for you now that you're picking on Jay Miller? Statistically, the worst player we have in PvP. You two suckers are bullying him. So Steve Neal came in like the Duke that he is and said, I'm going to batter you motherfuckers with my exceedingly expensive cane. So do you two fuckers want your tag team match as a separate standalone tag team match at Royal Rumble? Because now is the time if you want to call somebody out. Dexter Critchman, the floor is yours. Say what you got to say to your opponents. Do you want the match, or do you want to hope that you draw each other randomly in the tag team tournament?
I would rather have a draw on the tournament, only because, to be completely honest...
I'm scared of Steve Neal because I'm a total pussy. Sorry, that's all I was hearing. Is anyone else hearing that? That's what I'm hearing. Is anyone hearing Dexter Critchman being a puff? That's what I'm hearing. Get your bells out. You're lucky I don't have the megaphone this week.
Beast. There's a reason. I want the Duke in a match.
Oh, yes. You see, I was going to mention this because Nick Payne will be facing poor old Jay Miller in a singles match at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
And of course, I will be defending my title against the undefeated, you know, inverted commas. Guess who's going to get finished off like Goldberg Streak with a taser at Kevin Nash-esque at Royal Rumble? That's you, Carl Russell, dude. You want to talk about lit, fam? You are going to be lit when I shove that cattle prod right up your anus.
Bury you.
With the rest of my victims, the Devil has got quite the collection of cards at his table, and he's looking to add a little Canadian bitch to it. So, motherfucker, I am coming for you. But you know what? We're going to make it live. A match announcement on Week in the Universe, no less. Our first ever match announcement on an actual podcast. Dexter Critchman will finally get it on with Steve Neal at the Royal Rumble.
Oh my God, how long?
It is
how
the Duke
long?
Versus the Repairman. The repairman, he's a man. Such a repairman. A repairman, he's a man.
I mean,
a there's real worse repairman. There are not worse gimmicks in this world. Maybe Mikey Whiplash. Shockmaster. That's a bad
name. Shockmaster. No, I can think of
Shockmaster,
quite a few.
The system.
Bow, wide bow, load.
Bow, 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 bow. Wide load. Oh, for the love of Christ.
Do you want me to keep going? I can keep going. I can bring up all the really bad gimmicks.
You save all that energy for Steve the Duke Neil. Because boy, is he going to be itching to get his hands on you. What a debut for Steve the Duke as he enters our tag team tournament with Jay Miller. But he will also face Dexter Critch one-on-one. And after the bloodbath that was me demolishing you, you had better save face here. Because if you lose outright to him, you have basically lost all face with all hosts. Nobody's going to take you seriously if you can't get past the Duke at least once. So I look forward to that, baby. That is going to be a bloodbath. Anything you want to say to Steve Neal before we wrap this bad boy up with some Christmas cheer, Dexter Critchman? Anything you want to say for your impending clash on January the 28th?
Only one thing. It's been a long time coming, and I really want your head on a platter.
The end is here! I'm going to splice in the Armageddon music while we're talking about you. Oh, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be you just going, it's been a long time coming. And in the background, all you're going to hear is, you came to me in a dream last night. It's going to be awesome. I am ready. It's going to be, we're going to have our own Armageddon at hashtag SmartPlugPVPRR. Oh. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want a slice of this hilarious and great fun, then you need to fucking contact at the Smart Plug on Twitter. Get the follow in there. Get in our DMs. Slide up in our DMs, just like Nia Jax has been sliding up in Enzo's DMs.
Let's not talk about that. No, stop, stop, you stop. In fact, hold on. Hold
it. Did you just say Impact? Oh, my God. He was about to talk about Impact Wrestling. Somebody shut this shit down right now. I am not
stop.
Having Alberto and Alcatron running around on podcast.
We're
again.
Not talking about this. Moving on. Go.
So okay, broom, broom, okay. Broom, so if broom. You want a piece, if you want a piece of PvP, you need to contact us, you need to follow us, you can cut promos, but if you want to be a part of that tag team tournament as well for the guys who are already involved, let us know who you tag it up with, tag us on the Twitter, use the hashtag SmartPlugPVP Tag Team Championship, use that if you're talking about tag team stuff, and please guys, refrain from tagging everybody all at once when you're trash talking. Try and keep the trash talk between you and of course the Smart Plug account so we can retweet it, because when you start adding people like myself and I'm trying to fucking work and I've got 10 fucking so Arthur Doom messages me the other day and goes, dude, my notifications just blew up. Yeah, I know, right? I've got 76. I ain't got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Do you
Sorry
fucking mind? So when I ask somebody to fucking de-tag me, you will de-tag me. Do you understand me, motherfuckers? Because I am the champ, and the champ gets what he wants.
So, he's got better things to do. Anyway.
Yes, I really actually do have better things to do than listen to fucking Captain Static giving me sauce over the internet. So, ladies and gentlemen.
Jesus Christ.
If you want to get involved in the PvP and stuff, please let us know. Jump in head first. Enjoy yourselves. But as always, try and keep it moderately respectful. Just remember that whoever you're giving banter to, they can give it back. So don't say something you wouldn't like unless you're quite happy to hear it back. That's how it works. But.
Right.
Dexter Critchman. It's Christmas. It's very, very, very close to Christmas. We're recording this on a Thursday. Likely you'll be hearing it on either a Friday or a Saturday evening. So we are really, really close to Christmas. Would you like to wish our listeners a very Merry Christmas from Smarky Towers?
Oh, I would love to wish them a very Merry Christmas and whatever holidays you do, you know, partake in. Have a good holidays, folks.
Ladies and gentlemen, have a wonderful Christmas from everybody at Smarky Towers. Raymond S. hasn't been able to join us, but he does also wish everybody a very Merry Christmas. So please look after yourselves. Have a great time. And if you don't catch us before, have a Happy New Year as well. But we will be back next week for our year-end awards, not to mention a bit of Week in Universe shenanigans. So get ready and make sure you've placed your vote. for all of WWE and NXT's year-end awards, brought to you by the Smart Plug. Dexter Critchman, say goodbye to the listeners.
Have a good night, guys, and do be safe.
Yes, indeed. Drink responsibly and absolutely recklessly at times, but make sure you guys get a lift. If you're going to be cycling during Christmas, please wear high colours, high visibility, all that shit. I hate to sound like dad, but please look after yourselves, guys. Drink responsibly. Eat like a fucking lunatic. Have a good time. Enjoy your families. Have a great Christmas. I have been Amiro Zanetti. He has been Dexter Critchman. And we will catch you very soon for another podcast from the Smart Plug Galaxy. Tis the season to be jolly. Tra-la-la-la-la. Put him through a table.
And thank goodness we didn't talk about Nia Jax and Enzo Amore.
Ah! I'm leaving it in there at the end. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Well, folks, we're all out of time. This is Johnny Gomez saying good fight, good night.